Welcome to the Unstick Your Mind podcast on Mimika TV. Get ready to get unstuck, align with your true purpose, and unlock your God-given potential. Hello and welcome to Mimika TV, where we talk about how to unstick your mind. Today, I have a special guest that you are going to love. Mike Thacker is the founder of WorkLodge, a mission-driven, flexible workspace provider in Texas. It was recognized as one of the top co-working spaces in the U.S., an FT5K, a 501c3 that delivers meaningful impact and lasting change in self-sustaining ways. In 2020, Mike received one of Houston's most admired CEO awards, along with a Guinness World Record for his podcasting efforts with his show, The Mike Thacker Show. He's also the author of the book, Mike Drop, Do Business God's Way, Live Like a King, and Change the World. Ooh, that's a fabulous title. Can't wait to get into that. So welcome, Mike, to the show. So excited to have you on.
Hey, Mimika. Thank you indeed for having me on. I'm really excited to be here. So exciting
getting to talk to someone who loves business, who loves the Lord, who loves podcasts. I mean, this is going to be a blast. And we also have Mike is from the UK and I lived there for 5 years. So if you hear a little bit of the British coming out, sorry, love, it's just a little bit in me. So I'm so excited to dive into your story. But before we get into, you know, the book and podcasting and what you're doing with your business, give our audience a little bit of a backstory, like what got you doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, so I got to say, when I was about 9 years old, I grew up in a Pentecostal church in the UK and started to feel like I wanted to do something for God. So I went to college, studied theology and thought I'd go be the next Billy Graham. That didn't quite work out the way I anticipated. And I realized I actually was a little bit better doing things in the business world. So kind of flip-flopped a little bit between that. It took me a couple of decades to figure out God was actually nudging me the business way and not the other way. And Here we are in Houston, Texas, you know, a long time later. In the UK, I used to work for a very large company. I ran sales teams that sold high-end IT solutions to the government. And in the US here before WorkLodge started, I was chief operating officer for a boutique security company that specialized in kidnap, ransom, and extortion. So done a few different things over the years.
Wow, that is a varied background, right? That must have been highly stressful, that job.
It was a little different, that's for sure.
Well, you have got a very very interesting eclectic mix, which I love, which is so fabulous. And, you know, being in Houston now, tell us a little bit about that business, like what you're actually doing and what that looks like.
Yeah, so while I was doing the security thing, I worked from home when I wasn't traveling. This is going back in, you know, 2012, 2013. And one day I decided I didn't want to be in a house on my own all the time. So I thought I'd go get me an office, and I couldn't find anything that I liked. So I said, well, why don't I build something? You know, there must be more people like me that want to go somewhere cool to work. And so this is before co-working was really a thing. And so I just thought I had a good idea, but apparently a few other folks had the same idea. And we're the oldest co-working space in Houston, highest reviewed. We've been at it for about 6-7 years now. We've got 2 locations. And, you know, for me, the fun is getting to build community no matter what you're building it around. Obviously, we're not building around Jesus, we're building around business, but it's still fun to be around people, just to be able to interact and fuse off. I still go in sometimes and I'll just pretend like I'm working out in the open space just so that I can get disturbed and, you know, visit with folks and find out what's going on and stuff. So I don't do it as much as I used to, but it's a whole lot of fun.
Definitely. And I'm sure with what we went through in the last 2 years, it's become a very popular space to hang out. And I think that's so awesome because, you know, it's so funny you say you just pretend you're working because you just really want to do water cooler chat, right? Because all of us are craving that connection and that community. And I think that's what's awesome, what's happened in the world in terms of how it's making us value like community and being together and conversations. Because I don't think isolation it's never God's plan. I mean, hello, he gave man a woman.
Right.
Clearly. Now, I have to ask you, I'm so curious, what is this Guinness World Records about? Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I started podcasting back in 2020, I guess, late 2020. And I was fortunate enough to find my way into, it was like an online podcasting event because nobody could meet in person. And so I was doing one of the tracks there was a faith-based track and I did a session. And so that event was actually the largest podcasting event online in the world. And so because we were, you know, speakers or whatever else, we all got to get our little certificates and that kind of stuff. So I'll claim it. I'll take my Guinness little certificate.
Well, there you go, right? I'm sure when you go home and you talk about a Guinness, they're like, yeah, you want a pint? Right. How many pints do you want, right?
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. So I'm really excited to dive in because now you've done business and you've done life. And, you know, the first thing I want to ask you, and a lot of my friends and coworkers and clients always have this dichotomy of work and ministry. Now, like, you know, you try to do ministry thinking that that's where, but God's actually called you to marketplace ministry, which is the topic we love to talk about here. So can you dive into a little bit about that and how that like works out in your life?
Yeah. So this is really the foundation of the book as I started to dig into it more and really just try and understand this balance of what am I really supposed to do? How can I serve God if I'm working versus, you know, the professional ministry type thing that whether we're told it or whether we just kind of fall into it, that's really what we think is that the pastors and the preachers, the guys doing it. And, you know, we write our check and we've done our little piece. And so as I started to dig into scripture and started to kind of look through some of this stuff, I realized that there's a very clear formula in the Bible. And that formula shows that business plus mission is the driver. That's where you get the return for the kingdom. That's where you actually impact the kingdom. And it's not just a case of marketplace first. It's marketplace only. The marketplace is where we meet people. The marketplace is where everything happens. And looking at Jesus' life, almost his entire ministry was in the marketplace, not inside the four walls of a building. And so it really got me to start thinking, okay, well, what is it we're missing here then? Why is it, you know, we are where we are? And that's kind of the thread that I pull on in the book, this idea that, you know, the church and the professional roles, if you want to call them that, you know, maybe we've got a few too many and maybe their role is more of the coach in the stands, you know, to cheer us on and kind of point us in the right direction. But we're the folks going out on the field, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week. And it's not that it's okay with God that we live a life where we work or we own a business or we're entrepreneurial. That's literally his original design. And I can prove it because in Genesis, before anything ever happened, the very first thing he did was an entrepreneurial endeavor. He went out and built a new remote location and he put some staff on it, Adam and Eve. And this is pre-fall, this is pre-everything, this is pre-community, right? He made something first and created and then got to community. And so it's part of our DNA. It's obviously the fabric of who we are because we're made in his image. And I believe wholeheartedly that if we could embrace that more and if every entrepreneur and business owner saw their business as the primary ministry and recognize that this is the vehicle God's going to touch their world through, we'd see a whole lot more impact and a whole lot more change in people's lives than we do with the current system of, you know, trying to get folks to church on a Sunday morning.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely resonate with that because I always think, you know, you said we just model what Jesus does. He was a carpenter. He went and he traded. He had a skill. He went and offered his services. And that's like, hey, offer the service and have a conversation and start to share about life. You know, kind of that's the way he did. Like, and I always joke and say, Jesus didn't stand on the corner and say, hi, guys, I've got a sign. I'm collecting money. I'm going to be creating a church on the corner of Temple Row and Marketplace Side. So I want you to guys come to me. I'm like, no, he never did that. He went to them, right? And that's what I find is amazing if we can model that, which is awesome. As well as for us women entrepreneurs, the Proverbs 31 wife or the Proverbs 31 woman is the epitome of an entrepreneur. She went out, bought flax, hired staff, managed people. And I just think that is like, when we make that like click in our minds, we realize that entrepreneurship is an act of worship. Business is an act of worship. You know, making money is an act of worship because we are using it as for God's purposes. Right. So I find this, I mean, we could talk all day about this, but this is like definitely like one of these topics that I think a lot of us have had almost conditioning to think that, well, if you're working, you're not really doing enough of God's work or another one I hear a lot is, oh, I can't really talk about my faith because I don't want to scare people off. Like I work in the secular world, services I provide, which is great, but it doesn't mean you stop being yourself, right?
Right.
So tell me a little bit about this concept. And I love it the way you put it together, the boom concept.
Yeah. So the idea is this formula says, look, you can do business on its own and you can do okay. And we can do mission on its own and we can have some impact and we can do okay. But if we do business and mission together and we fuse these two things as two sides of the same coin, what we get is this explosive kind of exponential return, which is what I call the boom, which is business operating on mission. And instead of 1 + 1 = 2, it somehow makes 1 + 1 = 11. And so, you know, in an indirect sense, I guess what I'm saying is, if we embrace the formula and if we embrace God's original plan, we'll actually be more successful in business. But that's not the driver. The driver, obviously, is the impact and living out our purpose. It's a side effect that we're successful. And I think it's important, because if we're chasing success and chasing the dollar, we're not chasing Jesus. You can only chase one thing. So let's chase the right thing and worry about everything else afterwards, rather than chasing the wrong thing and then trying to figure out where we lost Jesus along the way, you know?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm going on for a ride. You want to come with? Okay, I'm going, where'd Jesus go? Where'd my navigator go? And you're like, well, you're on your own, honey. You didn't ask for directions, and you're clearly off some road that I didn't destine for you, which I think is, you know, myself included. I'll admit I had been down those many paths by myself, and I'm like, Jesus, take the wheel. This ain't working. Right. We need to go back to basics. So how would we put this in practical terms? So let's break down some sort of takeaway tips. Like, how would we say, what can they actually do to institute business on a mission?
Yeah, I think the first thing is understanding, you know, why are you in business? What is that foundational kind of driver that took you to where you are? And I think for a lot of people, it was, hey, I want to be my own boss. Hey, I don't want to work for someone else anymore. I want to go make some money. It's usually a lot of things, but rarely is it, hey, I feel like God called me to this. And that's where we have that shame and that question mark that just rolls around in our head, where we feel maybe a little bit inferior, that we're less than something because we're working in the regular world. So I think first thing, have an honest conversation with yourself about, where did your heart come from that launched the business that you're in, or is trying to have an idea that you want to launch? And I think be honest with it, and then recognize, okay, maybe we need to shift that a little bit. And let's shift that perspective to, you know, Jesus wasn't kidding when he said in the Bible, everything you do, do it as if you're doing it for God. So, okay, if I've got a business idea or I'm running a business, what would it look like if I was doing it for God first? And I joke about this sometimes with some of the staff. Not all of my staff, you know, believe the same things that I believe, but some of them do. And I'll often joke, look, if Jesus came in, would we treat him the same way? Would we give him the same deal, or would it be different? Because if it's different, it's a problem. We should treat everyone the same. And so I think getting that foundational kind of baseline for your business is the very first step one. And then I think step two is, again, having another honest conversation with yourself and saying, okay, if the business is actually God's idea, and if God is the one who's driving me to do X, Y, or Z, and he ultimately owns everything, then what does that look like in practical terms? And so one of the things that I challenge in the book, and I like to challenge people when I'm talking to them, is a lot of times entrepreneurs live under this belief of, hey, it's my business. Everything I make is mine. I'm going to go write God a little check, and I've done my piece, almost like a tax, right? Hey, I paid my 5% or my 10% or whatever it is. And I don't see it that way at all. On the contrary, I see it as it really is all his, and I get the privilege of getting a paycheck for serving God in what I'm doing. So if you flip that mindset around as step two, then ask yourself, okay, if it's really all his, what else can I do with this business to impact the kingdom? I've got all this staff. I've got all these relationships. I've got partners. I've got vendors. How can I use them to do something for the kingdom? And it might be something small. It might be something huge. I don't know. It depends how big your business is and how much you generate in revenue. But don't only have a goal of, hey, I want to grow my business. If you get to the end of the year and it doubled in size, so what? If you didn't have any impact for the kingdom, you failed, because that's the core reason the business exists. It's to love on people. So set that goal as well, whatever it looks like, and then lean into that. And as you grow the business over time, understand that you're gonna grow and lean more into the mission and the impact, not just, hey, I want to make some more money and, you know, open 100 locations like Chick-fil-A or whatever.
Definitely. I think it's a real shift in the way we think, right? It's a mindset shift of, I mean, and it's hard because we live in the world, and the world says success is defined by your bank balance or size or how many employees you have, and I think we kind of like, we get stuck on that, because as from a heart's perspective, we know that God is really directing us from a different like lens. I like to think of it as we see the world a little differently, but we're living in the world. So it's like, it's very easy to get caught up in the metrics, right? Oh, you know, how many clicks or how many leads or how many sales or how much money or whatever, as a way of measurement. And I think in God's kingdom, it works a little differently. He kind of looks at things a little almost counterintuitive, which can feel weird which is why we live by a different standard. But I think, and I love how you said that, you know, by really like adjusting our attitude to like, why are we doing this is really key. So it doesn't mean throw out the baby out with the bathwater, right? You can just make these adjustments. So is that just daily decision-making, like kind of hiring staff, price, like you mentioned, like pricing, charging somebody, like, does that sort of determine like how, your business model, or just mostly like tell us a little bit more about that. Like if someone's thinking, okay, I've got myself in a bit of a pickle, how do I get myself out of it?
Yeah, no, I think it shapes everything we do. I think it shapes from the very ground up. First of all, it's going to shape how you interact with your staff and how you train them, how you invest in them, the things you say, the level of success that you want for them. You know, I run a small business. We don't have, you know, hundreds of employees or anything like that. And for me, it's very challenging when someone leaves because we invest a lot of time into helping them grow and you know, and hopefully develop. But we also recognize that people are going to grow and they are going to develop, and that's a good thing. And, you know, my business doesn't have roles that exceed a certain level. I mean, we're in the hospitality business. We take care of people. You know, if you want to be a brain surgeon, you're not going to do it at Work Lodge. So, you know, learning to celebrate when those things happen and understanding that's part of that God mandate of investing into them and helping them become who they're supposed to be. You know, that's one perspective, how you look at your customers, how you treat them. I'm in an industry where dynamic pricing is very much the norm. So on any given day, depending on availability, you might pay X for an office space, but tomorrow it might be Y. We've really worked hard to resist that and try and keep it consistent for everybody, because we think that, again, if Jesus walked in, that's how we'd want it to be, and not like an airline where every single person paid a different price for the seat. Your business might be different, but you know, think about those things. One of the things I've wrestled with the most because of the business I'm in, people take office space from us and they sign a contract, right? Well, not everybody wants to honor that contract through the length of however long that term is. And, you know, we always try and have a very, very genuine conversation of, hey, we're a small business. Like we make commitments based on what we think is coming in. And so it's important for us to, you know, be able to count on that. And you made a commitment to us. And so, you know, we hope that you're going to honor that, and we expect that you will. Not everybody does. So then you ask the question, okay, well, what would Jesus do? You know, the Bible says, turn to the cheat. But if I keep turning to the cheat, that's not really very appropriate as a business owner. And so it's finding that balance and navigating those kind of, you know, unique situations as well, but keeping that Bible perspective in the mix and not just seeing it as it's a business, it's X, Y, and Z. No, it's not X, Y, and Z. There is this X factor, this special source that comes from Jesus that is a little bit of a curveball sometimes. And we've got to learn how to navigate that. And the best way to do it is know your Bible. You know, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't understand what it says, if you don't know what it says, you're going to fall over, you know, and you're going to end up with some real problems. So get that figured out first and those basics, and you'll be in a much better position.
I love that. So it's like the Bible as the business manual, which is fabulous because it's just written years ago and it's been proven and tried and tested. So that's what I love about it, and just how it kind of gives us perspective, right? So we don't have to feel like we are zoomed into the world standards. We can make decisions and make business choices through God's lens, which is just awesome. Now, I love the part in the title of your book, you say, live like a king. Now, tell me a little bit more about that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so the Old Testament kings for me are a great example of how God interacts with people and how he touches large communities. And so I use the example of David and Solomon. Solomon obviously was David's son. David was a king, and David built himself a very extravagant home, his palace. And at the time, there wasn't really a church building or a temple or whatever you want to call it. There was still kind of a tent and all the stuff that was a relic from the old days when they were traveling all the time and out on the road. And so David wakes up one day and thinks, you know what? I'm going to build God a palace too, right? I live in a palace. God should live in a palace. Sounds logical. So he goes and calls for the prophet and says, hey, I've got this idea. Can you go check with God if that's okay? And then the prophet goes away and comes back and says, yeah, it sounds great. And then a little later comes back and says, you know what? Actually, it's a great idea, but you're not the guy to build it. God wants your son to build it. And David says, okay, cool. So I'll do all the planning and prep now. And then what he does is he takes hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money and he puts it to one side. out of the royal reserves for his son, specifically to build this building for God that God never asked for. And sure, you know, he raised some extra money from the people as well and let them get involved in the project. But I think that snapshot there is so important, because he was setting an example of, we think living like a king means, hey, living like a king, right? I live in a palace, everything's awesome. I've got 100 cars in the garages. I've got horses and stables. I got servants taking care of me. And actually, David's model of a king was never about the extravagance and the flamboyance. And even Solomon's wasn't, although they had that. It was about that heart that said, if I could have one thing, it would be to spend all my days in your presence. And he proved it by having an idea and then willingly funding it himself, when really it didn't benefit him at all. It was more a monument to the people of who God was and what God was. And then Solomon obviously took it up and rolled with it. And so I argue in the book that we as entrepreneurs, we're the kings of today, small k, like David and Solomon of old, where God blessed Israel and the people through those kings and through what they did, through the wisdom they had, through the revenues they were able to generate and everything else. And it wasn't just taxes. Solomon was a great businessman. You can't be the richest guy ever to have lived by taxing a group of people who haven't got that much. They were a tiny country. So clearly he made some money somewhere else. But again, God used that entrepreneurial heart to be a blessing to the people. And this is why, if we're going to live like kings today, we've got to recognize that our entrepreneurial heart was never so that we can live extravagantly. Although we may live better than some, I'm not saying don't, but it's finding that balance. If we're keeping it all and God's getting none of it or barely any of it, and we're not being a blessing to other people and our communities, well, we've got something wrong. If we are doing all of those things, well, sure, we get to keep a little bit for ourselves. So, you know, for me, if I want to raise my standard of living, the answer isn't, well, let's keep more for Mike and take a little bit less for Jesus. The answer is, then let's grow the business so that Jesus gets more, and then I still get some too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great concept, because it's like, instead of going from a scarcity mindset, we've got an abundance mindset. Instead of like, oh, I can't afford to pay more, I better cut back on that. It's like, how can I regrow? How can we make more revenue? Okay, where are the opportunities? And that's what God does. And that's what I love about doing business with God, is that you're like, okay, we have this expense, or we need this. Like, okay, God, where are we going to find it? And it's not like you have to go into the scarcity, fear-based thinking that makes us make fear-based decisions. We can go into, how do we make the money? And I love how you said that Solomon, he didn't tax the people more. And I'm sure everyone's like, yes, he made more opportunities. They traded with other companies. And if you think about, you know, all the resources they had in those days, and looking for partnerships and networks, like, how can we connect each other, you know, and provide the value, because we all have our own part to play in this. And it's just like the parable of sowing and giving gifts, right? Where God says he gives to this person one, maybe this one 10, because he expects us to be responsible, even with the one. So I love that whole concept. Well, I know we could talk all day, because this stuff is like, you know, ear candy to me when you talk about business and doing it God's way. But what is one takeaway tip would you'd leave our audience with today, just to remember to implement what we've talked about?
So I was reading the book the other day, and they made this kind of comment that in the Bible, you know, it talks about the ministry gifts, right? Apostles, prophets, preachers, you know, pastors, whatever you call them, teachers. And they just made this kind of off the cuff comment that, let's not forget that the really the first gift and the first role is just to be a worshiper. Like, everything else is secondary. And so I think my takeaway would be, hey, let's not just forget why we're here. It's not to make money. It's not to be busy. It's not to be an entrepreneur, although we can do those things as well. But we're here to worship Jesus. Like, it is all about him. It always was all about him. And one day it's going to be all about him, because we're going to have nothing else to do. So if you don't like hanging out with Jesus now and figuring out how to spend time with him and worshiping him, what on earth do you think you're going to do in heaven? Like, maybe that's not where you want to go. And so I think my advice would be, hey, let's get some perspective back in our lives and understand that spending time with him and worshiping him is far more important than anything else. And whatever else happens, you know, he'll figure it out, but let's get the baseline right, because I think we've missed it, you know, in the culture today. We get so busy and we're so focused on what we're doing for him, we don't even know him. And he doesn't really know us, but we're busy doing, because that's how we're raised, right? Got to be achieving, got to be doing more, got to be more efficient. And I don't think that's Jesus at all. You know, think about this. He was alive for 33 years, probably spent 15 or so of them as a carpenter. So five times as much time as he did being Jesus, the superstar, right? And even in the ministry, it never once says he ran from town to town. Don't really read about him getting on a horse, riding there quicker. Lazarus died and took 2 days to walk over there. He just wasn't in a hurry. And it makes no sense to me. You've got 3 years of ministry. Why are you not hustling here? Like, if he worked for me, I'd be like, dude, you need like, to get there quicker. You know,
at the speed, like, hello, right? Time is money, like, hello.
But he was never in a hurry. And I think there's a lesson there for us. I think we have fallen into a trap where I see it on my social feeds. Every entrepreneur is how to be more efficient. Here's how I do my day. I start with this and I do this and I've got every minute of every second locked down. And I can't do that. I can't live like that. You know,
it's like a self-inflicted prison.
Yeah. And it's, you know, ultimately it's designed to pull you away from the simplicity of just hanging out in his presence. And it's such a foreign concept to us now. Listen, I'm no spiritual whatever. Like, don't be thinking, oh, Mike must have the best prayer times on earth. I don't. You know, this is hard for me. But I know that that's the best investment I can make, because it's the one thing that's going to outlast everything else.
Definitely. Well, some great words of advice. And I'm so excited about the whole concept of just sharing that doing business God's way looks different than what we've been accustomed to. And it does take a little bit of, like, say we've got into this habit of thinking a certain way. It's going to take us a hot minute to get out of that, which means just hearing things and educating yourself and just really being encouraged by this kind of story where we know that it's possible and this is how God's designed it. And I think it's almost like I hear everybody going, oh, thank goodness, breathe a sigh of relief. I don't have to be hustling hard. I don't have to be on the treadmill. And anyway, hashtag the rat race was canceled. Thank goodness. So we can redefine ourselves, which is so fabulous. So tell everybody about your book and how they can connect with you online and all your the stuff that you do.
Yeah, so you can find me, mikethacker.com. I'm sure my name will be spelled in the show notes, so you can figure that out. I've got the audiobook as well. I narrated it, so it took me a couple of days to record, and you get to hear me say it, which is actually, it was more fun than I anticipated. You can find that on Amazon, all those kind of places too. And on social, I'm just at Real Mike Thacker. So find me anywhere you want. Facebook, definitely. Instagram. Not huge on social, but I'm there.
You're a busy man. You've got things to do, right? Doing things, changing the world. So awesome. Yeah, we'll have all these links in the show notes. And Mike's book is very aptly named Mike Drop. So it's very easy to find, I'm sure, whichever platform you're looking on. Make sure to go and grab a copy. And also, I always say, as a fellow author, make sure you leave a review. Us authors always need reviews. And, you know, being able to share that with a friend, because I'm sure there's somebody you know who would love that. But before we wrap up, Mike, would you be willing to pray for everybody who's listening?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for a new day, whatever day this is that somebody's listening to the show. Pray that you'd be with them in what they're doing, and give them a glimpse today of just your goodness, your greatness, and that purpose that you've put deep down in their heart as they look back over their lives and maybe ask questions about, is this really where they're supposed to be? Is this really what they're supposed to be doing? Give them that confidence and that peace that it doesn't matter how we got to where we got, the road forward is always the best road it can be, because it's the path that you've got laid out for us. And so we thank you so much for your love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. So for everyone listening, make sure to go and rate and review the podcast and click that bell, notification bell, so you can get more and hear more about the show. And make sure to follow Mike and let him know that you heard him on the Mimika TV Unstick Your Mind show. We always love to connect our audience with our guests. And if you like today, make sure to add your comments. We'd love to hear your aha moments, any insights, and share it with a friend. I'm sure you know somebody you can just click that little forward button and let them know about today's show, as well as the wonderful testimony and story that Mike shared with you today. So we'd love to hear back from you. But thank you again, Mike. I appreciate you spending time with me, and we look forward to connecting in the future.
Yeah, no. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.